I'll be reading the Mandarin. This is an international language where you hear it in Hong Kong, China, and Taiwan. So this will be the first one. 但是 Thomas 一个几个月叫的弟兄们，我刚看好耶稣来，他们啊弟兄看到出没有看到你的手，就没有应该加上，就没有相信。但是八个天，他们来弟兄来跟着 Thomas and 耶稣叫着来。 照看门道家，你们平安。但是他们个人他的手应该出，但不但就不相信。我们看到就相信，主跟他们讲，你们看到我就相信，有度法也没看到。 谁相信? The second language would be the dialect. This is where you hear it in Taiwan and in the Philippines most of the time. Not in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is Cantonese. That's different. That's where you people hear people yelling, and, but they're just talking. In we Thomas, Chabdiyelang, Kapitmos, in Kapiaso, Bolai, into Gap Yaso Gun in Quadi Yi Chu in Quadi Yi Chu in Quadi Bo Shong Sin Bo Shong Sin Boy did lie Dancer Thomas Gun Gap Yaso lie Kui Yi Mung Niman Ping An Dancer Thomas again Quadi Yi Chu Quadi Yi Chu Bo Kang to Bo Shong Sin. 因无相信，耶稣就来讲：“恁看到我，恁相信，平安还人无看到我。” My
name is Nancy Bien-Aimé. I will be reading in French and Haitian Creole. Jean, chapitre 20, versets 24 à 29. Thomas appelait Didyme. L'un des douze n'était pas avec eux lorsque Jésus vint. Les autres disciples lui dirent donc, « Nous avons vu le Seigneur. » Mais il leur dit, « Si je ne vois dans ses mains la marque des clous, et si je ne mets mon doigt dans la marque des clous, et si je ne mets ma main dans son côté, je ne croirai point. » 8 jours après, les disciples de Jésus étaient de nouveau dans la maison, et Thomas se trouvait avec eux. Jésus vint, les portes étant fermées, se présenta au milieu d'eux et dit, « La paix soit avec vous. » Puis il dit à Thomas, « Avance ici ton main. » Avance ici ton doigt et regarde mes mains. Avance aussi ta main et mets-la dans mon côté. Et ne sois pas incrédule, mais crois. Thomas lui répondit, mon Seigneur et mon Dieu. Jésus lui dit, parce que tu m'as vu, tu as cru. Heureux ceux qui n'ont pas vu et qui ont cru. Créole haïtien. Jean, chapitre 20, verset 24 à 29. C'est comme, I mean, it's like the same thing, but... OK. Thomas, qui te relé Didyme, yon nan 12 qui pat la, le Jésus te vini. Tout l'autre disciple yo dit kon sa, nous te wè Seigneur. Men li di yo, tout autant pa wè mel, tout autant pa wè clou, tout autant pa wè douet mwen nan mak clou yo, tout autant pa mette mèm nan zokot li, mwen pap kwe. 8 jours après, disciples yo vini encore, yo te là nan même kayla. Thomas cette fois-ci te là. Jésus vin rentrer, toute porte te fermée. Li présenté le nan mitan yo et li di yo, paix avec nous. Ensuite li viré vers Thomas, li di, avancez, vin joindre moi. gade même, gade clou yo, gade kot mwen, mette men nan kot mwen. Et Thomas dit li, Jésus, papa, Jésus répond li, Jésus dit li, parce que ou wè mwen, ou kwè, mais béni tout moun ki pa wè et ki kwè.
Good morning. I'm Rob Villena. I'll be reading it in my own dialect, Ilocano, spoken in the Northern Philippines, also national language of Hawaii.
This is true.
When people are asking me, "Are you a Filipino?" I said, "No, I'm not Filipino. I'm Ilocano." John 20, 30, 31. The purpose of this book. Tipanggap dito ang libro. Surat ni San Juan 20:31. Adupay dagiti milagro nga nainaramid ni Jesus iti inadamang dagiti adalan na ngem saan nga maisurat iti daytoy a libro dagiti na nailad iti daytoy a libro na isurat da tapno mamati kayo ani Jesus isu ti Kristo nga anak ti Dios. Ken babaen iti daytoy nga pamati maadadar kayo kuma at biyag kapo kingkwana. San Juan 20:31.
Good morning. I'm Ezra Chatler. I'm reading from John chapter 20, verses 30-31. I'm reading from King James Telugu version. I'm sorry, there is no King James Telugu version, but you don't know that. Mariyu anekamaina ittara suchaka kriyalanu Yesu tana shishulu eduta chesenu. Avi ee grandamandu raayabadaledu kani Yesu devuni kumarudaina Kristu ani meeru nammunatlunu nammi ayana naamamandu jeevam pondinatlunu ivi raayabadinu.
All right, now we're actually going to look at chapter 20, and we're going to specifically look at verses 24 to 31. I have notes up here, if I can have some men help me. I am going to do everything I can to be done very quickly, and that will be a miracle if it happens. So this will be two miracles on the Lord's day. Which is going to mean I'm not going to say everything in the notes, that's for sure. All right, if you look back at John chapter 20, you can write things in the notes if you want to. Most of it will be written there except some sub-bullet points. John chapter 20, starting in verse 24. Going to look at doubting Thomas this morning, and that's what we're going to look at. Let's all stand, if you would, please. We will begin with prayer, the sermon. You probably will not get out exactly on time, but very close. And some of you are saying, that's not even possible. It is possible. All right, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. By the way, I experience that weekly. I teach something and somebody says, "Pastor, would you teach on that?" And it's like, you know, I just spent 3 months teaching on that. But anyhow, he's not there. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, "Why, we have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side." And again, I'll say this again. The only scary thing he says in this whole thing, by the way, friends, doubts, are they good? Are they bad? Are they sinful? Are they not sinful? The only thing that scares me that Thomas said was these words in English, "I will not believe." That sounds like an element of arrogance. It does not follow because he doesn't continue this. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, meaning the next Lord's Day. Again, they're back there worshiping on the Lord's Day, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, he immediately addresses Thomas, the doubter, "Reach hither thy fingers and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Stop being an unbeliever, be a believer. And Thomas answered and said unto him, by the way, he doesn't do anything, he gets it. "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And then, of course, we have the conclusion of the book in many ways. Why did I write this book, John asked. Well, it follows up on this story. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Father, I ask your help this morning. It's been a good morning for me to be able to again hear and realize that many people in this room grew up with different languages. Languages that are important to them. More importantly, languages that are important to you. And the fact that we want people to be able to hear the Word of God and understand it in a language that they can understand, that is so significant. Bless this morning as we meet together, encourage for those that might not be saved. May this not only be the day of the resurrection, but the day of their salvation. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. My introduction this morning is what it says. Doubts come in all shapes, sizes, and seasons of life. A couple weeks back, I talked to a man that I've known for a long time. We talked an hour and 21 minutes, which, if you know me, I don't chit-chat, so that is a lot of conversation. He talked to me about his life over the last 40 years. He got saved gloriously, followed the Lord. Somewhere 30 to 25 years ago, several events nearly destroyed him as a Christian. By the way, we're not just talking about resurrection this morning. The average person in this room does not have the intellectual curiosity to chase that rabbit. Doubts come in many forms, many varieties, and in many shapes. It all centered on this. His son died. One of his two children, gone. Secondly, his wife went back to the world. Drunkenness. I don't know what form it is because this stuff keeps morphing. But whatever they were doing 25 or 30 years ago with crack cocaine or whatever, she went back to the pigsty and she left him. And she wanted a divorce. And unless you're living on a different planet, we don't live in the old days where there were good guys and bad guys. We don't live in the old days where there had to be a guilty party. It's both people are innocent, but she left him, and this is what he told me. I lost my son. I lost my wife. I lost every single thing I had outside of my job. And then his ex-wife died from the drugs. So it was all gone. Everything. He has another son. You'll love this, who won't speak to him, who blames him for all of those problems. I guarantee you, doubts come in to everybody's life. About the resurrection, I stand before you. This has never been an issue for me. But I've had my series of doubts, three or four big ones in my lifetime. No, I'm not going to share them this morning. In your notes, what do we find here? Well, we find, first of all, Thomas had his doubts. I mean, when the other disciples come to him in verse 25, they just start talking. They're excited. They can't wait to tell him. And boy, he says, no, except I see. I mean, he had some big doubts. Now, friend, I'm going to say a couple things about this before I do. Can I ask you a question? How many virgin births have you seen? Answer the question. How many virgin births have you seen?
Zero.
There's been one. I did have a young girl here many years ago, and my office told me that she was pregnant, but she'd never been with a man. Did I believe her? She was correct. She didn't lie to me. It was nine men, but that was beside the point. By the way, friend, don't read the text and act like nothing's happened here. A resurrection? Sorry, friends, I've been to a lot of funerals, done a lot of funerals, and I haven't seen anybody come back. Not yet. One has. Thomas had his doubts, of course, in your notes. And this is for all of us. Many Christians have doubts about doubts. Some people think this, real Christians don't have doubts. I've actually heard that a lot, which I would say this, real lying Christians don't have doubts. And then I've heard people say things like this, doubts must mean I was never really a Christian. Because if I have a doubt, I must not be a Christian. And then I think of all the people I have known that have gone through different circumstances and doubted. Now, by the way, not everybody doubts. I think I said that. Different shapes, different sizes, and different seasons. Sometimes people go along for a long time without any doubts. I say next, some Christians say things like this, doubts are sin, are sinful. So, by the way, you would never ever talk to somebody and say, Pastor Warren, I have doubts because that means you're sinful. I'll tell you my view in just a moment. Some people, these are my favorites, say this, doubts are easy to get rid of. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe that?
No.
By the way, look at me, please. Let's get past, you know, I know it's Easter. You have lost, did you hear me? Everything. He said, I owned nothing. I had an old junky truck. I had no house. I still had my job. I had no money. My wife got all of it, even though she was the guilty party. She got all of the money. She got everything. And my son died. She died. I lost everything. Yeah, you're going to have some doubts. You say, was he sinful? Well, I don't think it's easy to get, oh, yeah, I just got over that. No big deal. I don't think that's the way it works. Or you hear things like this. You just need to believe. Now, that's a funny one. When you're doubting, you need to believe. That's ironic to me. Last but not least, and I've heard this, there must be a hidden sin if you're doubting. For me, this is how I think of doubts. Doubts are not the issue for me. Everybody has doubts. By the way, not of the same things. Friends, I stand before you this morning at 66 years old. My son turns 40 today. I do not know how that works because my wife's only 21. But he's 40 today. Can I tell you this honestly? I have never doubted the resurrection. But I have had other doubts. And about things that probably most of you don't doubt. You say, what's the biggest thing? Pastoring over 40 years, the thing you have doubts with, are people ever tell the truth? Are people trustworthy? Ooh, people disappointments. By the way, do you know the average pastor has no relationships with anybody? I talked to a pastor that said, I have no friends. And some of you would have no idea why. You don't like being lied to. So your solution is no friendships. By the way, everybody has doubts. I don't care who you are. So doubts to me are not the issue. Next in your notes. Doubts, from my perspective, are part of being human. Are you human? Then you probably have doubts. I don't think doubts are the issue because I think it's part of being human. Next, doubts are part of being fallen humans. We're sinful. And because we're sinful, we're going to have extra layers at times of doubts. And of course, we're not going to have time this morning. I'll let you read the verses. The other disciples doubted also. I mean, it wasn't just, we always say, you get two different views of Thomas. You get one view that wants to make Thomas the bad, doubting Thomas. You have the other view of Thomas, and this is in a different kind of church, where Thomas becomes the hero because he has doubts. The Bible is neither one of these foolish opinions, because frankly, he's not a bad guy for his doubts, neither is he a good guy for his doubts. He's just who he is, just like the other disciples. They didn't think about resurrection. It even states it. It's in your notes, the last two verses, verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scriptures. All of them didn't get it, that he must rise again from the dead. And how do we know this? Well, they went back home. That's what they did. Secondly, and I'm just going to have to bullet point this, Thomas had a history of doubts, or at least, may I say this, confusion. He was a guy that we have four references to in the book of John. He's found in John 11, which is a very confusing statement. John 11, quickly, says, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And boy, you talk about confused. Thomas is like, what? He says, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go. Huh? That we may what? Die with him? I don't even know where that comes from. John chapter 14, one of the greatest passages in the Bible. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. For where I am, there you may be also. And then whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas goes, huh? We don't know. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. Thomas, in the book of John, which is mentioned at key points, always seems to be doubting and confused. We'll go die with him. I don't even know what that's about. We don't know what you're talking about. What Jesus says in him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, later, even after the episode that we're focusing on, John 21. By the way, I'm not going to read it. John 21, are you ready? Peter says, I go fishing. What did Thomas say? He doesn't say it says his name in the first couple of verses. He goes with him, meaning he's still kind of confused. Thomas is a person that probably had a history of doubts. Number three, Thomas wanted evidence. In verse 25, the other disciples said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, I want some evidence here. Except I see in the hands the print of the nails. Poke, by the way, I like to poke better. Poke my finger into the print of the nails. Poke my hands into his side. I will not believe. And I ask the question, who doesn't want some evidence? By the way, friends, the other disciples had evidence. The other disciples had lots of evidence. The evidence, and I'm just going to bullet point it, you can write it or not. You, first of all, the first person that comes there finds an open tomb. And how in the world did that tomb get open? Because that tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers. And the stone is rolled away, is an open tomb. That tomb is also an empty tomb. Where is the body? They had evidence. Thomas didn't have this yet. We also have the missing body, which is the reason. That's like, where did you take him? Where did he go? What happened? What's going on here? And then, for me, very important. By the way, everyone look at me. Have you done any reading of history of what we do with, I like history, Egyptian tomb robbing. How do you know it's been robbed? Because it's been, hear the language, ransacked. Stuff is every place. Because people aren't saying, let's take our time and enjoy robbing this tomb. They go through there pulling, yanking, and tearing things apart and trying to find the good stuff. But when the disciples looked in there, they saw everything, listen, orderly. Not like the tomb had been robbed or pilfered or ransacked. Something's different about this. We have an orderly, not a robbed tomb. Well, we also have a risen Christ. He then appears to what the one young lady as she's, you know, Mary's trying to figure out what's going on, Mary Magdalene. And then he appears to all the disciples, but Thomas, of course, is missing because, you know, he had a headache that day. Now, friends, I have in your notes a chart. I'm using my language. I think doubts are fine. Can I say this to the younger people? I would prefer you to have doubts, not lie, not play games, not do religion, but actually have real doubts, look at me, and deal with your doubts, than I would you to play a game. There's only one problem doubts ever have a problem. When you go from doubts to using your doubts as a way of not believing. And there is a switch. I call it the difference between being a skeptic and being a cynic. A skeptic is someone, I want evidence. A cynic is someone, I don't care what you tell me, I'm not going to. So let me tell you a short story. 1986. I was younger then. I was 31. I take over a church in St. Louis, and when we get there, the first thing I want to do is get to know the people. So eventually, over a few months, we pretty much either went out or went over to everybody's house, had a meal or whatever, got to know people. I still remember their names. I have to make up a name because it's not important who they are. I'll call them Henry and Bridget. And we didn't have any Bridgets and we didn't have any Henrys. We go to Henry and Bridget's house. We have a nice meal. Supposedly they have been Christians for decades, two decades. They have children. But obviously I'm not stupid. Something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. We go through the meal. There's an unease there, best way to say it. The end of the meal, the husband and I go out someplace, another room outside, I don't remember. And the husband says something to me. Now, by the way, this is 1988. He says to me, Pastor Warren, I just want you to know, I have struggles with doubt about hell. I don't know if I believe in hell. I want everybody to look at me. If you actually have that doubt, I don't have a problem with you. 1980, everybody got that? 1988? Fast forward to 1996. I'm now coming here. My last service in the church, that man showed up on a Sunday night. I hadn't seen him in 3 or 4 years. His wife came. It was a sad situation. And you know what the man told me, the last conversation I had? Look at me. 8 years later, I don't know if I believe in hell. He was not a doubter. He's a liar. He's using that to do his own thing, to go his own way. Those aren't doubts, friend, because there's no evidence or biblical teaching or anything that you can do to help the person. He's basically said, well, let's look in your notes. These are Pastor Warren's opinions. You can take them or leave them. On the skeptic side, there's simply a person that doubts or is a doubter. Don't have a problem with that because all the disciples had doubts and were doubters. On the other side is someone who is committed in unbelief or they are a committed unbeliever. That's a little different. The skeptic is someone that has questions. And by the way, I actually appreciate Christians that have questions. I actually don't understand Christians who don't have questions. I think probably they're not thinking about Christianity very much. On the other hand, the cynic is someone that only has questions. So, let's play this out. I'm in a conversation with an intelligent young man, 30 to 40, somewhere in that area, not from around here. Intelligent young man. He's very smart, very gifted, makes a lot of money. He started with his doubts. Does that, he, by the way, grew up in a church something like this. He grew up in this kind of environment. Do I have a problem with his doubts? No. But the problem wasn't about his doubts. You say, how do you know? 10 years later, still got the same doubts. You see, a skeptic has questions. A cynic only has questions. And they're questions to keep people at a distance. They're questions to push people away. They're questions to push the truth away. They're questions to keep things off of them. They're a game. On the left side, a skeptic doesn't know or understand. And by the way, there are many things that you might not know or understand. That is fine and normal. Friend, it takes time to learn things. And even when you learn things, you might not understand everything. On the other side is when you won't know or understand. It's just a position. No. I find a skeptic as someone willing to believe. And I will say this, Thomas to me was kind of, at least from his words, was on the margin. He almost sounded like he was a cynic. I will not believe. By the way, friend, please look at me. He didn't say the norm. When you read the New Testament and you find the three words for no, me means no, ooh means strongly no, and then when they want to be super negative, ume. Absolutely no. The only person that uses that is usually Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, ume, shall not pass away. Thomas uses a double negative here, which tells me, at least from his language, he's on a border. He's a guy that not only is not willing to believe, it's almost like, I have this in your notes, he is not willing to believe. Now, time proved that's incorrect. To a skeptic, evidence matters. To a cynic, evidence doesn't really matter. It's not interested in evidence. Friends, can I say this to all of you? If you deal with people, do you witness to people? Yes or no? Look at me, please. Do you witness to people? Don't waste a lot of time on certain people. It's not about evidence. You say, I'm going to get a book. They're not interested in evidence. Evidence is not good. They're not, because if they were interested in evidence, they would look for the evidence themselves. You see, there is that cynic that I'm not interested. Okay. Well, the biggest difference for me is the last concept. A skeptic, and I say this, it is often painful, it's a phase. For a skeptic, it's a phase. Some things happened. Maybe someone you love has died. Someone you love has cancer. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you didn't get a promotion. All of those things that happened. And then you go through a phase, or you could say a stage. And oftentimes, it's a very painful stage. By the way, friend, I have no problem with that at all. On the other side, this is not a stage or a phase. It's an identity. I'm a cynic. I will not believe. By the way, there's not much hope for that. That's not Thomas. Well, number four, Thomas was provided evidence. He was provided evidence. John chapter 20 says, the same day in evening, being the first day of the week, that's the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples. 20:26, after 8 days, meaning the next Lord's Day, he again appeared to the disciples. And he looks at Thomas and he says, come over here, look at my hands, poke your fingers in the prints of my hands and in my side, and stop. It uses two words, epistos and pistos. Stop being an unbeliever, be a believer. Stop being without faith and have faith. Quit messing around. Here is the evidence. Friends, I could spend, there was a time when I first came to this church, I would spend on these days half of the Sunday morning presenting evidence of the resurrection. You know what I have learned? Not a single cynical person is interested in any evidence. By the way, I could talk to you about Tacitus, the Roman historian, that mentions the Nero, 30 years after this, taking Christians, and because Christians were a good group to oppose, and putting them on post and burning them alive because they were Christians. And you say, I don't know if I believe in the resurrection. Well, there was a whole group of the church exploded. I could talk to you about the Roman historian that said, in the city of Rome, there's all these problems going on, instigated by somebody. He didn't know the name. He said Crestus, like Christos, but in Latin. Somebody by the name of Christ. I could talk to you about Domitian killing Christians because Christians said what Thomas is going to say, my God and my Lord. And Domitian said, you will not say this to this Christ person. You say that to me. Dominus et Deus. You call me Lord and God. By the way, the proof is every place. Our problem isn't proof. Our problem becomes other things. We would rather have an identity of being cool or make money or have power or any number of things. There's lots of evidence. And yes, Thomas was provided the evidence. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, with the idea being, if you're really interested, go talk to them, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. By the way, 2024, all of them are long fallen asleep. Doesn't change anything. There's plenty of evidence. Evidence is never the issue. We could talk about it all morning. Number five. Here's the beauty of the statement. You see Thomas. Everybody look at me. We don't play the game that churches do. Thomas is the bad guy because he doubted. Or Thomas is the good guy because he doubted. Doubt is an in-between thing. It's really a phase because of various and sundry issues. But a doubter must seek the evidence in the end, the truth, the information. And basically, Thomas gives us a good example. Thomas came to the place when Jesus said, all right, here I am. Come on over. Take a look. This is me. Poke your fingers into my holes. Poke your fingers into my side. By the way, Revelation 5 says, in eternity, the Lamb of God will still bear those wounds for our sin. He will be like a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He said, come on over. I don't think Thomas needed that. Thomas immediately got it. The fog lifted. The Holy Spirit opened his eyes. He believed, but he more than believed. He believed, yes, but he also confessed. Look at the beautiful text in your notes. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. By the way, friends, this is not religion. Lord is simply the Greek form of the Old Testament word Jehovah or Yahweh. You 7,000 times of the Lord. He was saying, you are the Lord from the Old Testament. You are my Lord. You are my God. He not only believed, he confessed, he got the message. So he was not a cynic. He might have been skeptical. By the way, I don't think the Bible has a problem with skepticism. I don't think being overly religious helps us. Skepticism is good. Cynicism destroys you. Making it your identity is destructive. Going through painful phases and stages is normal. Thomas was provided the evidence, and then he believes, and then he confesses. By the way, friends, Mark 9, you say, Pastor, I'm not even at the place that I could be there yet. No problem. Mark 9:24, different story, different setting. It says, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I love this phrase, Lord, I believe. This is the verbal form of pistos, pistuo, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I'm still struggling. I'm still in doubt. Friends, you come to this church and we tell you, Christ alone, the way to the Father is through Christ alone. And you say, that's too much for me to understand. At least open your heart and bring yourself to the place where you can say, I don't get it all. I don't understand it all. But I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to come. And Lord, help the rest. Help the rest of my unbelief. Thomas bowed his head. My Lord and my God. It's interesting to me. Maybe it'll be interesting to you. The Gospel of John is the last written book. John wrote this book in the 90s, 60 years after the events. The other Gospels were written much earlier. The first three Gospels, no time to prove this, had to have been written before Acts. And Acts was written by AD 62. So they were written somewhere in the 30s, 40s, or 50s. John was written later. And John, in Revelation 1, in your notes, was on the island of Patmos. You say, why? Well, he tells us. John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom of God, a kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island of called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John records in his gospel Thomas's confession, my Lord and my God. And that is exactly, in Latin, what Domitian was requiring of Christians. He was basically requiring them, you either choose me, Dominus, Lord et Deus, Lord and God, or you choose Christ. And you choose Christ, you die, or at minimum, we put you on some deserted island to die. Those are your choices. Well, Thomas believed and confessed. And by the way, John the apostle suffered. Well, we come to the very last piece of the message. Thomas also reveals the limitations of evidence. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And by the way, that's wonderful. But friend, understand, Christianity is historical. It's things that happened. It's not feelings or emotions. It's about God sending his son at a particular time into the world to live under the law, to give himself on a cross at a particular time, to be crucified, to give up his spirit, to surrender his life for our sins, to be buried, to rise again. These are historical issues. You can't all say, wait a minute, I'll believe if I see the prince. That's not available now, friend. And Jesus knew very quickly it wouldn't be available. What would be available? The testimony of the people that saw, the testimony of the people that heard, the testimony of the people that were there. We have the testimony of Scripture. Evidence can never be reduplicated historically. So, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Which, by the way, if you're a believer, every person in this room, that's you. Because you don't become a believer by directly experiencing the evidence. You have to trust the testimonies written in the Scripture and all through history of what happened. And then John concludes his gospel in the sense of this is the high point of the gospel with John 20, 30, and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. 21, 25 is going to tell us there wouldn't be enough room to do so. But these are written for what purpose? That ye might believe that this man Jesus, this historical person that was born in Bethlehem, that grew up in Galilee and Nazareth, that walked this earth for 30-odd years, that was proclaimed the Messiah, that demonstrated he was the Mashiach, the one chosen of God, the very Son of God, that person gave his life. All of this is written that you might believe that that man is the Christ, the Christos, the Mashiach, the chosen one, the one that the Father sent into this world. And it goes on to say, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. Everyone look at me, and we're finished this morning. I doubt if there's 1% of people in this room that are doubters. We might have some skeptics. I would say this, most of us have no doubts until we have problems. And then we have lots of doubts. Here's my recommendation to you. If you're truly doubting, seek the information. Seek the evidence. Seek! Run! Don't use this as your identity. Well, I'm not sure if I believe that. Friend, that's going to take you exactly one place, and it's not a good place. There's plenty to believe. There's plenty of evidence. Yes, I could spend hours talking about Roman historians because I love it, because it discusses Christians from the Roman perspective. That won't change anybody's opinion, because I will say this. When it comes to it, when Jesus says, look, you're either going to get it or you're not. Be one of those who get it. Believe, trust, come to Christ for salvation. Father, thank you for this text. Undoubtedly, with more time, we could have fleshed out many more of these concepts. Doubting Thomas, but it was really doubting disciples. It's really doubting people. Nobody escapes this life without doubts. But there's plenty of evidence. There's evidence in the Bible. There's evidence outside the Bible. Obviously, the greatest evidence is the Scripture. But this was not done, as Paul says, in a corner. This wasn't hidden from plain view. These things actually happened under Pontius Pilate, a Roman governor of Judea, which is mentioned every place, including in Tacitus, the Roman historian. None of this was hidden someplace. Father, this morning, speak. Maybe there's folks struggling with doubts from things that I have no idea about. Maybe they have run into dilemmas in marriage, life, children, grandchildren. Father, draw them to your word. Draw them to yourself. May they continue to find hope and peace and strength in your word. And for those in this room that are not saved, oh Lord, don't let them play the identity game of this kind of being a way of, well, because this is big time matters. Life, death, direction over a lifetime. Speak, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please.